Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is a delight to be in the studio as we answer your questions as they come in a variety of ways, including when you dial live on today's broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember that we not only do a broadcast, we also do a podcast. And if you aren't already subscribing, make sure to head to iTunes and click subscribe. Also remember that it's a huge help to us if listeners could leave a rating, a five-star rating. It's an action step that takes 30 seconds. It costs you absolutely nothing, and yet it has an enormous impact on the ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, expanding the algorithm outreach and enriching the lives of believers and helping to reach non-believers as well. I was reading through page after page after page of ratings on the podcast, and I'd like to share every one of them with you. Of course, I can't do that, but I'll share one by Kurt. I couldn't imagine a better way to spend my commute than listening to Hank Unplugged. Hank and his guests are entertaining, articulate, and biblically accurate. And so please rate, review, subscribe, and share the podcast with others as it continues to make a difference around the world. A lot of people hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. Evan in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, listening on the web. Hi, Evan.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much.
I have a question for you in regards to Joseph, the husband of Mary and earthly father of Jesus. I guess the Bible does not appear to have any mention of Joseph during Jesus' time of ministry. It doesn't appear to be any mention of him being present while Jesus was being crucified, and I have no knowledge of how long he lived or how he died, and I don't have any knowledge of where he was. So I guess my question would be is, why is the Bible silent on mentioning Joseph, and is there anything more I can learn about Joseph?
Well, you know, there's a lot about Joseph that can be learned by tradition, but you're absolutely right. The Bible is largely silent with respect to Joseph. Chronologically, the last biblical reference to Joseph is in Luke chapter 2, and it's in the context of the 12-year-old Jesus speaking with the Jewish religious leaders in the temple. And when you think about it, as you've rightly alluded to, you think about the wedding feast in Cana. You know, Jesus is now engaged in his public ministry, and there only Mary was present. At least only Mary was mentioned, suggesting that Joseph may have died before Jesus began his public ministry. And there's something else, I think, that's always very telling, and that is from the cross, Jesus commends Mary into John's hands, and that further suggests that Joseph probably had already died. But why the Bible does not spend more time elucidating the life of Joseph, I cannot tell you. I can tell you that the Bible always prefers emphasis. And the emphasis between Joseph as the foster father of Jesus and Mary, Theotokos, the mother of God, the emphasis there ought to be obvious. And therefore, again, our emphasis is on Mary much more than it is on Joseph, but certainly interesting to read about the life of Joseph in some of the accounts that you find outside of the biblical text?
Okay, well, thank you, Hank. You're a huge reason why I'm involved in apologetics, so I thank you for your time, and God bless you.
God bless you, Evan. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Ruth. She's in Garland, Texas, listening on SiriusXM 131. Hi, Ruth.
How are you?
I'm good. It's nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. I'm very pleased to hear that your health is improving, and I'm praying for you every day. And
oh, bless
you. I really appreciate the knowledge that you pass on with your program. And my question is a question, actually, that my oldest son has. He was asking me, are homosexuals safe? They have the opportunity to have salvation and be forgiven of their sin as well.
Yeah,
and that's a hard one for me.
It is a hard one, but I think the real question, Ruth, is not to ask whether homosexuals are saved. It is to ask whether people want to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so if a homosexual or a heterosexual wants to be a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, wants Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, then obviously that person is going to be received by Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus Christ does not receive us because we're perfect. He receives us because we want to be his followers. We want to be co-consummators of his kingdom. Now, obviously, as you learn about the principles and precepts of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the most obvious thing that you do is you begin to conform your life to that pattern of behavior, because you recognize that he is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. You recognize that he knit us together in our mother's womb, and therefore we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And all of that together makes us realize that to follow his principles is the wise way to live his life. And if we don't follow his principles, then we have to ask the question, do we really want to call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ in the truest sense of the word? If we're followers of Jesus Christ, then we will do those things that Christ commands us to do. So I think it's, again, important for us to reframe the issue. Anyone that wants to follow Jesus Christ will be received by Jesus Christ and will be conformed to his image and his likeness. And
sanctification.
Okay. Say again?
I said through the process of sanctification, you know, that happens once we become saved, you know, becoming more like him and having more of his attributes. That's the process of sanctification, correct?
Well, that's right. But remember that when you and I became followers of Jesus Christ, we did not know what we know today, right? Because we learn in a progressive way. So I know a lot more about the principles and precepts of Jesus Christ today than I did when I became a believer at age 29. So I am now accountable for what I know. I'm accountable for the light that I have. And many people early on in their experience with Christ, they don't understand his principles and precepts. But as they do, to abhor those principles as opposed to being obedient to those principles tells whether or not you are truly a follower of Jesus Christ.
I see. By the fruit that you bear. Well, thank you, Hank, so much for taking the time to talk with me. I really appreciate it.
Well, you are welcome, and thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Philman in Los Angeles, California, listening on KKLA. Hi, Philman.
Hi, Hank. How are you? Hi. And hi, Christina.
She is here. She is sitting here listening to you.
Okay, that's good. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Good. So my question is, I was talking with one guy who claims to be an atheist. You know, I'm very careful to call them atheists because the Bible makes it very clear that they know God made it clear within them that his knowledge of them or his knowledge of him, he made it clear to them. So I don't call them atheists. But anyways, he was telling me that we got our morality by human experience, and I didn't know how to answer to him because, like, we got our morality, we got our values because we are creating God's image. But he said, we got from experience. So how do I explain that?
Well, I mean, it depends on your worldview. I mean, if you embrace a materialistic worldview, then you get your morality by your own subjective experiences. And from the size and scope of the latest lobby group that you may want to follow or participate in. But if you are a believer, then you do not get your morality from your own subjective experience. Rather, you derive your morality from the North Star. In other words, God sets the parameters, as I was talking about earlier. He sets the parameters wherein which we are to live. And therefore, he determines, excuse me, what is right or wrong. It is not we ourselves that become the determining factor. And I have said many times on this broadcast, the problem today is that all too often people set their sights by shooting stars rather than setting their sights by the North Star. We are told precisely how we are to live in the Scriptures. So God defines morality for us. The ethics and the mores that we follow come from an objective standard as opposed to a subjective bias.
Yeah, or like, excuse me, but is this a good argument to make? If when you talk to them, when you talk to atheists, they speak with such tremendous hate toward God, and they are very belligerent. But I told one guy, and I told him, if you don't believe that God exists, how can you have such tremendous hate? How can you have tremendous hate for someone who you don't believe exists? So is this a good argument to make?
Well, yeah, I think it is a good argument to make. And I think that you're right in the prologue to your question as well. It's absolutely true that all of us have the light of creation. So when you look around and you see the sun, moon, and the stars, you immediately know that there is a sun, moon, and star maker. That just is common sense. You don't suppose that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produces the mores and the ethos that you were just alluding to. So the heavens do declare the glory of God, and as you rightly allude to Paul's words in Romans chapter 2, God's eternal power, his divine nature are clearly seen through what has been made, and therefore there is not a single person on the planet that ultimately has an excuse. So we do have the light of creation, but we also have an inner light. And I think that underscores your presupposition as well. That inner light is our conscience. God places a knowledge of himself on the canvas of our consciousness. So we have two ways that we know about God. And that light can become ever more bright as we give ourselves over to the knowledge of God, as opposed to repressing the knowledge of God in willful disobedience. So I think that what you have said is brilliant and wise and right on point.
All right. Thank you so much, Hank. Thank you very much. Actually, you're the first one who showed me the farce of evolution. I didn't want to get into that conversation, but thanks to you, I'm more interested in apologetics now. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, that's a great testimony, and it warms my heart. We do have a flip chart that I spent a lot of time putting together. It's called the Farce of Evolution. And it's actually has a few more words to it in the title, and that is Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. I try to take the complex, make it memorable so that it becomes transferable as well. So here you have a wonderful listener who has taken this, and it has become a means by which he has become an apologist, not someone who apologizes for the Christian faith, but someone who is defending the Christian faith, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within him with gentleness and with respect. Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution, available to those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also get a book that's titled Zombie Science. I absolutely love the book. It's by Jonathan Wells. I've had him on a podcast. I've had him on the broadcast. Check his book out. Available for those who support the ministry, equip.org. And then we have one other resource, and it is a film, Icons of Evolution, something that you ought to watch if you have children with your children. But if you don't have children, maybe you're a grandparent, maybe you're a student yourself, share this with other people. It is absolutely stunning. All those resources available at equip.org. We'll be right back.
In 2017, we became familiar with the term fake news. In 2018, we want you to become familiar with the term fake science, or zombie science, as Dr. Jonathan Wells calls it in his book. The job of a scientist is to follow the evidence wherever it leads. Unfortunately, many scientists are failing to do their job in order to maintain the materialist manifesto's status quo. It's time to be equipped with the truth and put an end to this fake zombie science. To receive your copy of Zombie Science, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The issue of where humans came from isn't just an apologetic issue, it's the apologetic issue. Because how you view your origin ultimately determines how you live your life. That's why Hank Hanegraaff created his flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution, and he wants to get it into your hands today. It's a flip chart in our Hankronym series. And by using the acronym FARCE, F-A-R-C-E, you can stand with God's truth against false paradigms like the theory of evolution. It's a compact, user-friendly tool, and Hank wants to equip you with this important resource as thanks for your donation today in support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your FARCE flip chart when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI. Or go to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Using the acronym FARCE, F-A-R-C-E, Hank Hanegraaff reminds you why evolutionary theory is false, and he wants to equip you with this flip chart titled Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. It's a flip chart in our Hankronym series, and it's our thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your Farce of Evolution flip chart when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy, and the F and the acronym FARCE, as in the Farce of Evolution, stands for Fossil Follies. And one of the things I've pointed out over the years is that Colin Patterson, senior paleontologist at the prestigious British Museum of Natural History, which houses the world's largest fossil collection, think about it, 60 million specimens, once confessed that if he knew of any evolutionary transitions, fossil or living, he would certainly have included those transitions in his book, Evolution. And the reason I bring that up is that statement underscores the fact that the fossil record is, beyond a doubt, an embarrassment to evolutionists. No verifiable transitions from one kind to another have as yet been found. And in the geological period that is designated Cambrian, the highest orders in the biological hierarchy appear suddenly, and they appear fully formed. In fact, I think with a lot of delight about Richard Dawkins, I often call him Darwin's Doberman Pinscher. Richard Dawkins, probably the most popular Darwinist on the planet today, he actually once said, it is as though those fossils were just planted there without any evolutionary history. And of course, they were there without any evolutionary history. That is precisely the case. Darwin's tree of life is not only uprooted by the Cambrian explosion, but the fossil record in general shows no evidence of the origin of species by means of common descent and natural selection. Those are the twin pillars of the evolutionary dogma. Ironically, the general public seems blithely unaware that no transitions from one kind to another exist, which would be necessary to prove macroevolution. And the sleight of hand and sleight of mind that evolutionists are involved in is this Darwinian notion that microevolution leads to macroevolution. And there simply is no warrant for that. We can certainly believe in microevolution, but there's no warrant whatsoever on the basis of either scripture or science to believe in macroevolution. And it's common knowledge among paleontologists that what I am saying is true, that the transitional forms that are supposed are, well, inferred transitional forms as opposed to real transitional forms. And that is precisely why novel theories involving pseudosaurs continue to evolve. And one of the novel theories talked about in both the Icons of Evolution, the film, Zombie Science, the book by Jonathan Wells, and in my flip chart, is Archaeopteryx. And whenever I say that there are no transitions from one kind to another, someone inevitably brings up Archaeopteryx. That happens so often, I ended up coining a word for the experience. I called it pseudosaur. Pseudosaur means false. Saur refers to a dinosaur or reptile, literally a lizard, and therefore a pseudosaur, the word I coined, is a false link between reptiles such as dinosaurs and birds. And that is precisely what Archaeopteryx is. The notion that birds evolved from dinosaurs has so permeated modern thinking that has commonly maintained that dinosaurs still survive today in the form of birds, their feathered offspring. But to say that Archaeopteryx is a missing link between reptiles and birds, you have to believe something. Think about this. Think about the stretch of credulity it is to believe this, that scales evolved into feathers for flight. That idea must surely stretch the credulity of even the most ardent evolutionist, particularly if you start looking at the details. And in, I think it is, my creation answer book, I kind of cash out those details. So you start to see, wow, to believe this takes an enormous leap of faith, more blind faith than anyone should be allowed to possess. The sober fact is that Archaeopteryx appears abruptly in the fossil record with masterfully engineered wings and feathers common in birds that are observable today. And I remember Pierre Lecomte de Noy. He was an expert in the science of statistical probability, who once said, "We're not even authorized to consider the exceptional case of Archaeopteryx as a true missing link." And Stephen Jay Gould, Niles Eldridge, they are both brilliant and militant anti-creationists. They concluded that Archaeopteryx cannot be viewed as a legitimate transitional form. Again, all of this is part of the farce of evolution. The F in the letter, or in the acronym FARCE, stands for fossil follies. And we ought to be familiar with the rudimentary fact that the fossil record simply says no to the evolutionary paradigm. I want to take a Facebook question by Michael Henderson. He's asking the question, why do Orthodox pray for the dead? Well, when I received that question today, I thought, you know what, Michael? It doesn't take being Orthodox to pray for those who are in the presence of God. As I pray for my mother, who is still in the flesh, so too I pray for my father, who is absent, his body, but present with our dear Lord. I can no more imagine forgetting my father than I can forgetting my mother. And as such, I pray for my loved ones in that great cloud of witnesses, because my sacred love for them did not die when they died. They are neither dead to me, nor are they dead to God. Our love is not past tense. It remains present tense. And since our love never ends, our prayers never end, our communion never ends, our union made possible by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ never ends. I remember someone saying, our prayers for the dead reveal in a most beautiful way our understanding of the Church of Christ as the body of Christ, both on earth and in heaven. Divine love unites us together as one body. And the resurrection has made clear the paper tissue thin veil between the world to come and the world in which we now reside. And it also seems to me that as the eternal state is a place in which I will continue to learn and grow, albeit without error, so in the intermediate state, I can rightly pray that my loved ones will flower in their union with God and in union and communion with one another. And I certainly would never pray to those who are departed, but I certainly hope that they are praying for me, just as many saints have said that they are praying for me as I struggle with my mantle cell lymphoma. I got another question that I'm really interested in answering, and that is a question from Frank. And Frank is asking a question, which I think is very relevant. What comes first, faith or obedience? It seems to flow both ways. And what I love about the question is Frank has sort of answered the question rightly himself in the question itself. And the answer is yes. Yeah, it's a brilliant, brilliant answer, Frank, that it seems to flow both ways. Obedience is the fruit of faith, and true faith is always accompanied by obedience. It does flow both ways. Genuine faith is always transformational. It is never transactional. At least it shouldn't be. If your faith in Christ is devoid of obedience, you do well to wonder whether your faith is indeed a genuine faith. Why? Because obedience is the fruit that demonstrates that your faith is not dead, but rather that your faith is alive. As James, the brother of our dear Lord, and the first bishop of Jerusalem put it, faith by itself, if it has no works, is, well, it's dead. Let me put that another way. Faith without obedience is incomplete. We nurture our faith through obedience. And obedience is the demonstration of genuine faith. So again, I love these kinds of questions where you have someone kind of getting the answer even as they ask the question itself. Well, we need to test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. And this is something I want to emphasize as we go to break. It is so critical as you listen to my answers to questions that you don't simply swallow the answer because I'm giving the answer, but you test what I'm saying in light of Scripture, and then you hold fast to that which is good, that which is true, that which is faithful. I love God's Word. I have spent my life studying God's Word, memorizing God's Word, meditating on God's Word. And so I hold the Word of God in the highest of all possible esteems. I simply am in love with the transformative Word of God. So test all things in light of Scripture. Hold fast to that which is good. And as we have kicked off a brand new month, brand new year, 2018, we're at the end of the first week of broadcast. We do ask people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. I cannot do what I do without you. You are the glue that allows this work ordained by God to touch the lives of people in places that you and I will likely never go. In fact, I was talking about a call that I got earlier on. That call, that question, that comment came from a place that I've never been. So the broadcast goes there, and we thank those that stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
Science has enriched our lives and led to countless discoveries. But Dr. Jonathan Wells argues that it's being corrupted. Empirical science is devolving into zombie science, shuffling along unfazed by opposing evidence. Discredited icons of evolution rise from the dead, while more icons, equally bogus, join their ranks. Like a B-horror movie, they just keep coming. Zombies are make-believe, but zombie science is real. And it threatens not just science, but our whole culture. Is there any solution? Wells is sure of it, and he points the way in his book, Zombie Science. To receive your copy, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
We have the perfect resource to help you stand for truth regarding creation. It's Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. If you've ever seen a flip chart from our Hankronym series, you know they work. They're compact, portable, and packed with solid biblical truths you need to know so you can stand against false teaching such as the theory of evolution. Using the inherently memorable acronym F-A-R-C-E, Hank equips you to share the news that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Hank wants to bless you with his flip chart as thanks for your donation today to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call 888-7000-CRI to request your flip chart and share your donation. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
What's the perfect resource to teach the young people in your life why evolution is false? It's Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. Hank wants to equip you with this powerful resource as thanks for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call 888-7000-CRI to request your Farce of Evolution flip chart. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Well, now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And questions come in a lot of different ways, but the answers also are given in more than the broadcast. I did a complete Bible answer book, collector's edition, revised and updated. I also did a creation answer book. Either one of those are available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute by your gift this month. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. The reason I mention this, however, is that when you join CRI's monthly support team, I'd be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. I mentioned it all last year, and it bears repeating this year, that the support team is foundational to the health of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our podcast, our outreaches around the world. So if you have some of the Lord's resources that you can invest in the ministry on an ongoing basis, well, I'd be pleased, again, to personalize a copy of the Creation Answer Book or the complete Bible Answer Book to you, a family member, or a friend. So many have told me that it is one of their treasured resources. In this segment, I always I also always give the quote of the day, and this is no exception today. The quote of the day comes from C.S. Lewis. He is probably the most important Christian apologist of the 20th century. Virtually every single year since I've come to faith in Christ, I've read or reread Mere Christianity, one of his famous books. C.S. Lewis said this as the quote of the day, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." I love this quote because, you know, the Christian worldview is so satisfying. Once you embrace the Christian worldview, everything falls into place. Before that, you have to make up stories. So, for example, as an evolutionist, you have to make up a story. You see that there are no vertical transitional forms from one kind to another kind, so what do you have to do? You have to make up a story. You have to infer that there are transitional forms. Because you can't, goodness, you cannot say that this is a function of a creator God. This is a function of intelligent design. So you make up your story, but the stories aren't satisfying. The Christian worldview is satisfying. I think, for example, in context of talking about the fossil record, of the story that people have made up called punctuated equilibrium. This is a fairy tale, and it's produced and proliferated in the evolutionary community as a theory to explain away the poverty of the fossil record. And according to Stephen Jay Gould, a species does not arise gradually by the steady transformation of its ancestors. It appears all at once and fully formed. Now, why does he have to say that? Because the transitions are missing. But the problems with this story, this fairy tale of punctuated equilibrium, ought to be self-evident. First of all, as I've just said, it's motivated by a lack of transitional forms in the fossil record. As noted by Gould himself, the extreme rarity of transitional form persists as the trade secret of paleontology. He knows. So he had to come up with a story. If he'd embraced the Christian worldview before he died, he wouldn't have had to make up the story or adhere to this made-up fairy tale, which flies in the face of the science of genetics. The genetic apparatus of a bird is programmed for producing another bird. It's not programmed for producing a different kind of animal. And the effects produced by jumping genes or chromosomal rearrangements would not produce a hopeful monster. It would produce a monstrosity. I mentioned this earlier on this week. You have this story, this fairy tale. It's now being proliferated in schools. It's impacting children. It's called The Wonderful Egg. A book written for children, where a mother dinosaur lays an egg that hatches into the very first bird. So you have a reptilian egg that hatches into a bird. A lizard lays an egg, and out comes a bird, fully formed with wings and tail feathers. And that bird flies up into a tall tree and begins to sing a happy song in the narrative. But you think about the foolhardy nature of this. How can that bird propagate? Because it's got nothing to propagate with if it's the first bird. So the song eventually has to become a funeral dirge. And yet, the tragedy is that this story, because the story has to come out with some recommendations, the story is now recommended by prestigious organizations like the American Association for the Advancement of Science and the American Council on Education and the Association for Childhood Education International. So remember, the fossil record says no, and people that do not have a satisfying worldview have to keep making up one story after another. Once you believe in Christianity, as C.S. Lewis says, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else, and you see everything else so much more clearly. A lot of questions come in a lot of different varieties. Richard asks the question, Hank, have you read By This Standard, The Authority of God's Law Today by Greg Bahnsen? And actually, I haven't read that book, but I know something about the book. Greg Bahnsen was, and I say was because he's no longer alive. In fact, he died at a very early age. I think he was in his 40s. He was an advocate of what's known as presuppositionalist apologetics, postmillennial eschatology, reconstructionism, theonomy, which is the subject of his book. Reconstructionism is an idea that arose within Reformed Calvinistic Christianity, and since I grew up in this, I know quite a bit about it. Reconstructionism espouses a doctrine called theonomy, and this is the idea that everyone is still bound by Old Testament law, and that includes civil laws. It doesn't include laws that are either modified or set aside by the New Testament, but it does include civil and the ceremonial laws. And Reconstructionists therefore believe that the world will be Christianized, and it will be Christianized through the church's preaching of the gospel, and thereby it will usher in a millennial kingdom. And after the millennial kingdom, you'll have the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And from this post-millennial vantage point, Reconstructionist reason that believers should take dominion of all areas of society, including politics, meaning that if we take over all these areas of society, what we will do is we will usher in the kingdom of God. The king will come to a kingdom prepared for him. And I think the more likely a biblical view is that when Christ returns, he's not going to come back to a church that has triumphed over all of civilization, but rather he is going to come back, and when he does, the triumph will be brought with him. And Jesus put it very clearly at that point, do not be amazed, because all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. And then the eternal perfected kingdom will ensue. It will be a result of the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many questions come in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and the reason that we are able to answer questions, the reason that we're able to do the Hank Unplugged podcast, the reason that we last year were able to build a new studio so that we can harness digital media platforms, is because God's people are faithfully standing with this ministry. And I encourage people to give, not in the sense of begging them to give, because ultimately, the Lord doesn't need your money, but the Lord does work through means, and you can have a part in a ministry that is really making a difference around the world. And as we have finished the year 2017 with some strength, the month of December was a very, very wonderful month financially. There were a number of people that gave extraordinary gifts that really helped lift the ministry. But every year we start again, and we need the resources of God's people. There's so many things that we could do if you would stand with us, if you would invest with us in a ministry that's making a difference all over the world. I read some of the testimonies that I get about the podcast, for example. Evan says, we listen to nearly every podcast. And I can't read this name, but someone else, I can't pronounce the name, I should say. I've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast for years. It has helped strengthen my faith and taught me how to answer many of the questions people ask in regards to Christianity. Seeing Hank in this format, the Hank Unplugged format, has been absolutely amazing. God bless you, Hank. You are most definitely fighting the good fight. Another My Opinion, I guess, is the name of this particular rating. Amazing podcast with the brightest people on the planet. And that's exactly what we try to bring to people through the podcast. Informative, inspirational, amazing people. People that I have known over the years that I wanted you to be able to, well, get a little flavor of maybe a more personal aspect of their life, their ministries, their perspectives. These are brilliant people, and the dialogues are a lot of fun for me, and I hope that you will go to iTunes and rate the podcast. That step will make a difference as the podcast continues to make a difference around the world. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. People are calling in right now, but this is not the time to call in. We are signing off for the week. And again, signing off with my deep gratitude for those who support the ministry, who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, you can give us a call, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. The resources I've talked about on the broadcast, you can find on the web, equip.org. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you right back here next week with more of the broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book Zombie Science by Dr. Jonathan Wells. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. Or just visit online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The issue of where humans came from isn't just an apologetic issue, it's the apologetic issue. Because how you view your origin ultimately determines how you live your life. That's why Hank Hanegraaff created his flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution, and he wants to get it into your hands today. It's a flip chart in our Hankronym series. And by using the acronym FARCE, F-A-R-C-E, you can stand with God's truth against false paradigms like the theory of evolution. It's a compact, user-friendly tool, and Hank wants to equip you with this important resource as thanks for your donation today in support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your FARCE flip chart when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI. Or go to equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture.
Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.